Thank you, Mr. Randall. Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's good to see everyone again. Hope everyone had a good Days of Unleavened Bread. Seems like it's been a while, but it really hasn't been that long. And how many times do we come out of the Holy Days, or most recently the Days of Unleavened Bread, we're rejuvenated? We feel renewed, refreshed. In the most recent case of the Days of Unleavened Bread, we were focusing on our old ways, trying to get rid of bad habits, wanting to get rid of the sin, and of course, walking in sincerity and truth, as Paul says. So we have this desire. We all just feel it, right? I do. And even with that desire, though, it's still really hard. Christian walk is hard. It's not easy. The journey isn't easy. So we leave the holy days, whether it's the Feast of Tabernacles or most recently the Days of Unleavened Bread. We feel encouraged. We feel uplifted. We feel determined. And then what happens? We quickly run into walls, barriers, the same weaknesses that we struggle with, the inner struggles. Sometimes ones that we thought we had already dealt with, they pop up again. Where'd that come from? So in that sense, our walk, our journey is a lot like Israel's walk through the wilderness, where they were delivered. They were delivered from Egypt through out of slavery. But once they were delivered, their journey wasn't over. They walked. They had to follow God through a difficult path. They had to learn trust. They had to learn obedience. For us too, as we know, we're called out of a type of Egypt, a spiritual Egypt, and we still struggle. We still struggle with the carnal, the flesh. 1 John 2:16 speaks of the lust of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life. And then Ephesians 6 reminds us that our struggle isn't just the physical struggle. It's against a spiritual realm, a spiritual enemy. Some of the biggest walls in front of us, some of the biggest barriers in front of us, are patterns of thoughts. They're inward, inside of us. They're fears. They're attitudes that we have. Wounds that we've encountered from life, from people. They're excuses we might have. They're negativity. All of these things, these inner struggles, are things that hinder us from yielding to God, from yielding to God. So with that, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10 today. We're going to use this as our launching point. And the setting of this letter, it's a letter from Paul to the church at Corinth. Some were questioning Paul, his authority. They were questioning his motives. And it's kind of interesting when you think about where Paul came from that people would do that. But as we look at 2 Corinthians 10, we notice how Paul kind of responds to these people, how he responds and answers in this letter. He answers with, it says in verse 1, with meekness and gentleness with Christ, even though he is being accused of things. He doesn't come down hard. He doesn't puff himself up with pride against these people. In his point here in 2 Corinthians 10, his point is that we are all flesh. All of us. Paul was flesh, we're flesh, and the real battle that we're facing is spiritual. So let's start in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ." So here Paul is he's not denying any kind of human weakness that we might have. He says we all walk in the flesh. We're all human. We get tired. We get discouraged, tempted, and we stumble. But he also says, Paul also says, that we cannot solve these problems, these spiritual problems, with carnal weapons, with human weapons, with our own strength. That God provides the weapons. These weapons are mighty. And as it says, mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. Mighty to pull down strongholds. God provides us mighty weapons. So today I just want to look at what are strongholds, how they form, and how can they be pulled down. What is a stronghold? The word stronghold, it's like a fortress, a fortified place, something that's super hard to break through, something hard to pull down. And Paul helps define it further in verse 5. He says they are arguments, human reasoning, anything that exalts itself against God, against God's truth, against the knowledge of God. So a stronghold is fortified. It's in a fortified or entrenched way of thinking, or a way of reasoning, human reasoning, and resisting God's truth. And it shows up in various ways for us. It shows up through pride, shows up through fear, bitterness, shame, discouragement. And these are things that we may have been repeating to ourselves over and over and over for a long period of time until we start believing it. And sometimes it might sound like, I will never change. I'll never overcome this. After what they did, I cannot forgive them. These are thoughts that can enter our minds. And sometimes these are the fiery darts that are coming at us from our adversary constantly. They're shooting at us, and if we don't challenge these, they become fortified. These thoughts, these darts, become fortified in our minds, in our hearts, and it begins to shape our view of God. Hebrews 12:15, it warns us, "Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, by this many become defiled." Any root. So these things start small. It's like a root. It's underground. You can't necessarily see it. And over time, that's what happens with a stronghold. That's how it forms, as a root. Something underground, something small. We entertain it in our thoughts, in our minds. And we think about it over and over. We're feeding it. Over time, if we leave these things unchecked, they grow. It grows into something bigger. It becomes fortified. And this is why Paul says in verse 5, every thought must be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. That's not easy. And as we go and look at the Old Testament, we can see a very helpful physical image of a stronghold. It's an image that we can have in our mind. In the Old Testament, it's the city of Jericho. As Israel walked through the wilderness on their way to the Promised Land, there was a great big city, great big walls standing in front of them. It stood between them and the Promised Land. Nothing they could do could help them get around that. They couldn't defeat it through military might, no strategy, no human effort. Nothing was going to bring down that fortified city, those walls. For us, strongholds can sometimes feel that way. Large walls that can't be brought down. They can't be torn down. They're established. They're impossible. But the lesson with Jericho is that Israel's victory, it wasn't from them, it wasn't from their strength, it came from God. God brought the walls down. But, of course, Israel still had to walk. They had to trust, and they had to obey God. But the weapons and the power were from God, and that applies to us as well. He wants us to trust him, and that he is greater than any walls, any barriers that are in front of us, stronger than any stronghold. As Philippians 1, verse 6, it says, "He who has begun a good work in you will complete it." It's really encouraging. God has begun a work within us. He's going to complete it. So the next question is, what do we do about these strongholds? There's a few things I'm going to touch on. The first thing is identify them. Identify them. Sometimes we know exactly what kind of stronghold we have in our mind or in our heart that's causing a barrier for our growth. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes we can't see them. Sometimes we have blind spots. In Psalm 139, verse 23, this is a prayer of David. And of course, we know David had some big-time blind spots. But he sought God. He asked God for help. In Psalm 139, verse 23, it's a prayer here. "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my anxieties. Or know my thoughts." So he's pleading with God to help. Help him see. Help him see those strongholds, those things, those barriers. And as the days of unleavened bread, as we just came out of, it reminds us that sometimes these strongholds are hidden. They're like little crumbs in the corner. You can't see them. They pop up out of nowhere sometimes. So we need to recognize that we need God's help sometimes. Point number two. Number two, take our thoughts captive early. Take thoughts captive early. As Paul mentions, strongholds, these things, these walls, these barriers, they don't just pop up out of nowhere. They don't just appear overnight. They take time to grow. And as earlier mentioned, they're like roots. They start small. They grow up over time. But the battle that we have needs to start right away, immediately. This is where it ties in really well to Ephesians 6 and putting on the armor of God every single day, putting it on, the helmet, the breastplate. And when we have the fiery darts coming at us, we're ready. We don't want to have any of those darts take root. And having these thoughts come into our minds, we don't want that to grow. We don't want them to be lodged there. With God's armor, we can take these thoughts captive immediately. We can ask questions like, is this thought, does this thought agree with God? What I'm thinking right now, does it agree with God's word? Point number three, trust in God for the victory. Trust in God for the victory. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Zechariah 4, verse 6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by my might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Not by my might. This is telling us that God's work is accomplished by his power. Israel had to walk through the wilderness. They had to circle Jericho, but God brought the walls down. It wasn't from Israel's strength. It's not from my strength. It's not from my weapons or human reasoning. It's through steady work, through consistent use of God's armor. And that includes consistently going to God through prayer, going to God through his word, through fasting, by using the spirit that he provides us, the helper. The strongholds, the walls, the barriers, through God's might, begin to crack, begin to crumble. Finally, in conclusion here, I'm wrapping up. If there's a stronghold in our life, let's remember that we don't want to make peace with it. Don't just accept it. The battle is real. It's hard. It's difficult. It can be discouraging sometimes. But God's power is greater than any of our human weaknesses. Paul reminds us that our weapons are not weapons we find in the world, but divine weapons. God's mighty weapon can knock down strongholds. Instead of thinking, I will conquer this because I'm strong, we should think, God can help me overcome because he is strong. The same God that brought down Jericho can tear down any stronghold that stands before us or before him. As we move forward, let's continue to take our thoughts into captivity, use the spiritual tools that God has given us, continue to yield to him, be teachable and humble, look to him for the victory. And in doing so, the strongholds will fall.